Chapter 45. Wednesday. Where the bloody freaking hell were you guys? Lena was furious. Zell, Zelos, and Val were no-shows the day before, and they hadn't answered her phone calls either. They were all standing in front of the lockers before first period, and when Lena had spotted them, a look of sublime relief came over her face, quickly replaced by the fiery demon Ma screaming at them now. Why weren't you in school? Why didn't you answer my calls? What the hell were you playing at? She wasn't sure whether to tear her hair out in frustration or theirs. Val thought it was cute. Aw, look how worried she was about us. She misses us for one day and... Don't you dare pat me on the head, or you'll lose that hand. Gowrie wasn't very pleased either. Amelia, fresh from a stirring student council meeting, was nearly crying. Zell looked at Zelos. Why are you so mad? Why? Lena screamed at Zelos, then dropped her voice to a snake-like hiss. Because, right on the eve of the big battle, the three Metallium inmates suddenly don't show up to school. They aren't at home, they don't pick up the phone, and they don't include me. Don't you get it? I thought that you guys were dead. I thought you'd run off to fight them alone and were shot in some gutter. You were dead, and I wasn't there to help. Now do you understand? The hurt in Gowrie's eyes mirrored her sentiments.
Can't you think about our feelings once in a while? He asked very softly. Lena was crying. She came over to my house.
That's enough of that, Lena interrupted. It's not about me. It's about... And then she lost it. She was on her knees in front of the lockers, face buried in her arms, massive bangs hiding her completely. Zell had had enough of this by the time Amelia seemed ready to run crying into his arms. It was time for some strong Zell persona to take over. Zelos, you may want to hide or at least keep quiet, he whispered to his cohort. Zelos nodded. And what about our feelings? Everybody jumped. Zell spoke again. You haven't let us get a word in edgewise. You have no idea what happened or why. For all you know, we could have entered the big battle yesterday and won. There was a gasp. We didn't. They looked ready to throttle him, but that wasn't anything new, so he went on. But you didn't know that. Here's what happened. It was all my fault, so don't you go yelling at Val or Zelos about this. I can take any abuse you throw at me. But first, hear me out. I had us call in sick, but I drove us down to the beach. No, Lena, don't choke me. And I knew you weren't actually sitting on the ground crying. Of course not! I was merely regaining my composure. Great. Anyway, I drove us down to the beach, and we played in the sand. We built a fort, out of logs. I wonder if any of it is left. No, I think we broke it up pretty good in our battle. Val was an evil dragon half-breed. Zell was, leave me out of this, Zell started to say. A shaman swordsman, and I was a tricky demon, and he pretended to fight over, oof! I told you to be quiet, Zell reminded him. Val had planted a punch into Zelos' stomach. Not too hard, but he didn't pull it either. It was Val's turn now. We ate lunch and harassed the wildlife in tide pools, and dragged Zelly's sorry ass out of one when he fell in. Lena, we just acted like kids. Irresponsible kids, yes. That is exactly the word I wanted. Thank you for screaming it at me. Irresponsible kids. How much longer can we be irresponsible kids? I've never... Anyway, after this week... I just wanted to have fun, Lena. I'm sorry we didn't tell you. I'm sorry we didn't bring all you guys. It would have been great. Gowrie could sense Zell's aura of strength failing fast, daunted by the ominous cloud over their immediate future.
Yeah, maybe next weekend when it's all over, we'll all go to the beach. I could take us in the truck, he offered.
Thank you, Gowrie, my savior. Your animal instincts have saved me once again, Zell told him with a glance.
Wasn't nothing. Any time, Gowrie smiled back.
Lena was silent. Zell's impertinent words were being mulled over like fresh cider in her brain. Zelos thought this was the perfect time to lay it on a bit thicker.
Here, Lena, we have something for you.
Zelos smiled in an attempt to mollify her somewhat. She gave him all of her attention. He grinned, dove into his backpack, and pulled out a book-shaped package.
Here.
Curious, she nabbed the package and ripped off the paper wrapping. Zell's drawing of her, all framed. There was no more time for further discussion. They reluctantly scattered to their classes. Passing notes. A time-tested way to converse in the classroom in semi-secret. Zell, Philia, Lena, and Zelos killed at least one tree's worth of paper in English composition alone. At first, the teacher passed it off as cute, since that poor, lonely boy Zelgadis was included. For him alone, she would allow the intricate love notes to pass without censure. She hoped that lovely Philia girl was interested in him. She sighed. It reminded her of that fairy tale, Beauty and the Beast. So, how much of our plan should we share with the others? Philia.
Whatever we need to.
Lena.
Leave Silphiel and Amelia out of this.
Zell.
Amelia? She's been setting up the whole recording studio meeting.
Lena.
Zell Goddess is right. The fewer the better.
Zelos.
They will only get in the way.
Zell.
You cold-hearted bastard, Zell! She's had her heart set on going!
Lena.
He's afraid he'll be too distracted. Hehe.
Philia.
That's right. We need to focus. You aren't going either, Philly-poo.
Zelos.
Go to hell, Zellykins!
Philia.
Zell, I am so going with you.
Philia.
No.
Lena, Gowrie, me, Zelos.
Zell. Philia gazed at Zelgadis with misty blue eyes and handed him a note. The teacher sighed.
It's too beautiful to witness. I'll even put up with those other two loudmouth kids for them.
I will so embarrass you in front of so many people if you don't change your attitude, Mr. Attitude.
P.S. And you know I can.
Philia.
Zell blanched, then blushed as fear, then an overactive imagination kicked in. He wrote furiously.
No, it's important that you do something else for us. You and Val have an important job too, just in another place. It's dangerous too, if that's what you're after.
Zell. The teacher smiled smugly. I'd love to see what she wrote to get that reaction from the young man. Her usual writing is so impassioned.
So how am I to find this place? You know where I'm going, don't you?
Lena.
Yes. This is not the time to pass that info, Lena. How did you like Siberia? I'd like to go again. Would you?
Zelos.
Siberia?
Oh, yeah. Better than the place used to be. If Zell weren't such a stick in the mud, we could all go this, well, soon.
Lena.
We'll go in April, then.
X.
Why me and Val? Why isn't he going with you? Don't you need a thug?
Philia.
No, you'll need protection. Why is the teacher smiling? Did I miss something in the lecture?
Zell.
Lecture? Gods, Zell, you're new at this, aren't you?
It's silent reading time.
You are such a nerd. You know that, don't you?
Philia.
I have it down in black and white. Make that purple and white. Isn't that Zelly's purple pen?
Zell. Zell smiled and waved Philia's note at her. The teacher nearly wept with joy.
Yes! Yes!
Ask Philia to trim your bangs. You're bugging me with the constant messing with them you're doing.
Lena.
As you wish. Could you ask her for me? I'm afraid.
Zelos.
And you are going to take on Gov? Give me a break. You faint at the sight of blood and are afraid of a cheerleader.
Lena.
Not always. And she's very scary with scissors in her hand and a gleam in her eye.
Zelos.
So, what's with all that conditioning stuff? Shouldn't you be past the blood thing by now?
Lena.
I didn't tell them. I wouldn't have gotten the assignment. There isn't much call for hitmen who faint, and there aren't enough shrinks in Seyrun to cure me anyway. So, I'm good at keeping secrets.
Zelos.
They don't seem like the forgiving type. What if Zelos gives away your little secret? Tells them you lied?
Lena.
Then I'm dead meat. Or just plain dead.
Zelos.
Philia, offer to trim his hair before I chop off his hand.
Lena.
I'll give you a good luck trim at band practice. Are you going to be there?
Philia.
Wouldn't miss the feel of your hands in my hair for any price.
Zelos.
The bell rang and the classroom emptied. The week before spring break was punctuated with tests in nearly every class. Val had to make up one he'd missed due to his romp at the beach, though Zell and Zelos were unfairly, he thought, spared the torture. That left Philia with no one to play with at lunch for 2 days in a row. Monday she stayed home, and Tuesday the boys were at play. Actually, she'd been hoping to be able to talk with Val about the clan and his possible place there. The way he'd behaved during the delivery was so promising. It made her think that maybe he was born to be one of them. And with just a little nudge in the right direction, he could become someone her mother would truly approve of. Zelos was nervous and hardly ate his pizza slice.
Before that gets any colder, Gowrie hinted from across the table.
What?
Zelos jumped.
Oh, that. Take it.
What's your problem?
Philia asked in a bored tone.
Who, me?
Zelos tried to pull off casual, but only managed to pull off klut by knocking over Zell's bottle of juice. Ever since Zelos had come home with those lilac bruises, Zell hadn't been quite in the mood to yell at him. So he simply stood up, saying,
I'll go rob the lunch line of some napkins.
Yes, geekhead,
Philia said, pounding Zelos on the shoulder. Only once, however, because this time she got a reaction.
Oh,
he moaned, raising a swollen hand to his shoulder.
So violent, Philia.
I hardly touched you,
she insisted, as she stood, circled the table, and sat beside him. To his amazement, she stretched the neck of his sweater wide enough to reveal a dark purple smudge.
You've been in a fight. Look at your hand. Zell, didn't you notice this? Is karate that rough these days?
Zelos removed her hand and frowned.
It's not your concern, Philia,
Zell pronounced.
Lena interrupted.
Of course it is. In a few days, we'll be very busy, and you, Buster, are supposed to be healthy. And you, Zelbub, are supposed to keep an eye on him.
It's okay, Lena, Zelos smirked. Just the result of a little fun at the beach, you see. So don't worry. Although, I'm flattered that you care.
He batted his eyes, engaging at Philia, who was still holding his mangled hand. Philia dropped it like a piece of raw meat.
Care? Like Lena said, lives could be at stake here, Chaos Kid.
What happened to Zelly? I was getting used to you calling me that.
He smiled boldly. Without Val around, he was unafraid to engage in some innocent flirting to annoy the snooty girl.
But maybe you know if there are any secret clan salves you could use to help heal this? Yes? Better than that shrine healing goop?
Philia had a responsibility to supply her healing arts when called upon. She wondered if he knew that and was testing her resolve, or if he were simply baiting her.
I'm sure I have something that could help. I'll bring it to band practice today.
Hope you have a large supply, Zell muttered.
Wednesday after lunch. Val, Philia, and Sylphiel had agreed on a t-shirt design
at last. Their decision left Philia in charge of the lettering, sticking close to the Slayer's logo already in use. The overall design concept was Val's territory. Silphiel focused on the actual silk screening technique. Now, Val and Philia had to argue about the color selection. "Think spring and summer, you know, light and airy," Philia said with aplomb.
"Airy fairy, Phil, no," Val said stubbornly. "Suzaka 7 we ain't. Dark and moody is more like us. You know, Lena'd puke over them pastels you're picking out."
"Like, you're just insecure about your masculinity. You have to look all black and edgy to feel tough. Great globs of black. Time to branch out, Val," she sniped, and tossed her blonde ponytail.
Val, sputtering in annoyance, said, "I like black. It don't show dirt or nothing. And I am not insecure. You're thinking about Zell."
"Zell wears light colors," Philia smirked.
"Yeah, ones that blend into the walls like cement gray and sage green and dirty beige," Val smirked back.
Silphiel had been listening to their amusing rancor. "Why not, you know, use different colored t-shirts, but the same ink printing? You know, like the guys wear darker greens, and the girls wear lighter, or blues, maybe."
Val chuckled. "You're pretty sharp today, Sylph."
"Fine, different t-shirts, same ink. Black, I suppose," Philia sighed.
"Silver, black outline,"
Val said with a playful gleam in his eyes.
"Silver?" Philia said, bewildered. "Where do you think we'll get our hands on that stuff? Not at school." "I'll go ask. Teacher might know an art store," Val answered seriously, then stalked off in search of the art teacher.
Silphiel watched him go, then asked, "So, how's your little brother?"
"More of a pain than him," Philia smiled.
"I think he's so cute when you two argue. He tries to be so cool, but he's really smart and emotional. I think he's, you know, happier now that he's living with Zelly and Zell,"
Silphiel giggled.
"Being around a Zell makes him happy?"
Philia said, ignoring the cute comment.
"That's pretty funny. Zell could bring down a puppy. And you know I love Zell too, but I'm telling Amelia to give up on the guy. She's getting really discouraged, you know? And if Nutso-Zelly doesn't send them both to their graves, then I don't know, but all I've noticed is that Val's cleaner, and he's at school on time in the morning. Probably Zell's influence. I'll give you that one." Philia noticed a tiny reaction from Silphiel that she took as, "You just mentioned a person of interest." So she decided to test the waters a bit.
"So, how is the nutcase at the shrine these days?"
"He's, like, so different there. He's quiet and so smart. I don't know anyone as smart as him. No, I mean it. He memorized everything already, and it's only been a month or so. He's going to receive admittance into full priesthood in April with last year's novices. And don't give me that look, Philia Ulkopt."
Philia grinned. "Silphiel, not another crush." Silphiel rushed on before Philia could get started.
"So, you've been ignoring Val for a while. Are you still thinking about Alan?"
"That was really random, Silphiel. Him? Well, I guess I was. It was nice to be around some class for a change. He does look good on a horse, too. Hell, Alan always looks good, but I'm not ready for a boyfriend like him, I guess. Shh, Val's coming back."
Philia turned toward the tall, green-haired punk, her friend, fellow band member, and nemesis at times.
"So?" Val smiled smugly. "We can still get Silva at the university art store. Okay with the babes, then?"
"Yeah, sure, Silver, whatever," Philia drawled in an attempt to appear bored.
"I could pick it up tonight, if Sylph here could give me a lift downtown after the practice tonight. What do you say?"
Val looked at Silphiel for an answer. "It's only a block from the shrine, no trouble," Silphiel nodded. Val picked up the design and looked it over. Good. We still have time to get this on the screen? Silphiel nodded and began to transfer the paper drawing to the silk, while Philia did the same for the lettering on a different screen. I'll pick up some t-shirts then, at the mall, if I can get my dad to drive me to the mall tonight. He usually gets baby duty at night, but I need daddy time too, Philia complained. The mall? Val snorted. Shit, Philia, that place is such a ripoff. Oh, and I suppose you know a better place? And I mean for new shirts, not resale crap. Philia snapped back. Yeah, I do. It's downtown, too, near the art place we're going to. It's an outlet store. Val smirked at his superior network of knowledge. Silphiel, you'd better go with him, or we'll be letting him pick the colors. Philia whined.
I can't. My father won't let me, she said gently, and looked away.
Val did the math. He's a smart dude. It might damage your reputation to be seen around town with me, alone. So, ladies, you're just gonna have to trust my unrefined taste again. He laughed hard enough to rattle some chains.
No way! Philia gasped. There's no way that I'll let you do that alone. I'll go along. I'll catch Zell later. He mentioned stopping by the dojo after practice tonight, so maybe he can give me a ride home. I bet Lena will be interested, too. I don't know, but I'll think of something. Wait for me by your locker, okay, Silphiel? After school.
We're done at the dojo late. Then I promised him to... Zell began.
We? Philia asked.
Zelos and me. We. Zell answered, raising an eyebrow in question.
Oh. Philia's mood shifted to the dark side. Well, that's just great. I need a ride back to the settlement tonight. Val's picking up t-shirts and supplies, and we can't leave him to do it alone. The gods only knows what awful stuff he'll pick out.
Zell imagined pink tanks with hearts, the last tops he knew Philia must have picked out. Not as bad as... All right. But we have a stop or two to make first. Val knows where it is, so meet us at the dojo at 8 o'clock on the dot. Or walk.
Band practice started with some tunes, just playing together and singing for the joy of music. After an hour, they took a water break, and Zelos stood up to speak.
I won't be at school tomorrow, or Friday, so I wanted to say a few things.
He paused dramatically before continuing. First, the danger we are facing is real and imminent. Second, anyone unable to go through with whatever challenges we face, please say so now.
He paused and caught each of his friend's eyes with his own deadly serious ones.
Good. Now Gov is said to hang out in and around Atlas City. That's where we're headed.
Lena added, Yeah, Luna told me to find some shrine in the mountains there to collect the special evidence, but I don't know much else.
Zelos nodded. We'll meet at this restaurant in Reed Cove Village, outside of Atlas City. I'll have directions by then.
Amelia spoke up.
Our appointment is for Monday. No, Wednesday, now at Macross Studios. We don't record yet. We're just going to check out the place and equipment and meet the technicians for a later recording date. No matter what. I plan to make that with Lena, Gowrie, you, and Zelos, right?
Everything will be over by then, I hope. Amelia.
Zelos smiled faintly.
And Daddy understands, but I need to get back after that for the spring shrine celebrations. You do too, don't you, Zelos?
She asked anxiously. Yes, I plan on it. But Amelia, I don't know what will happen to me. It all depends on how well we pull this off. Silphiel, where will you be?
Shrine duties, both here and in Syrog. My father's ready if Gov comes this way. He told me to tell you that, you know.
Zelos smiled. Thank him for me. Philia, sounds like you will have your hands full at the settlement.
Philia nodded. There are so many spring activities. If Val agrees to come with me and babysit...
I ain't got no invitation, and I gotta work anyways.
Val mumbled.
Thou will be called upon to ensure Milgazia's cooperation in either locating or extracting the hidden data. What Luna's got and Milgazia has hidden, only Lena is being entrusted with. Not me, of course. Zello smiled. That's dangerous for Lena. Val growled. That's what Zell and me are for, Gowrie assured him. Amelia will be endangered as well. I hope you've taken that into consideration, Zelos. I still say she should have her father drive her up separately Monday morning, after... Zell said sharply. Yeah, I know, Zell Goddess. Zelos waved a hand. But you never know what important role each of us may be called upon to play. Zell didn't like to be dismissed so casually. So let me get this timing right. Zelos nodded. You'll leave Friday after school and get to the Reedco restaurant for dinner. I'll meet you there, where we'll proceed together on to find the shrine Luna suggests. By that time, I will have a better idea of where we're going and when we should expect to run into Gav. Lena, you will wear the amplifiers? Good. Gowrie, your sword? Good. Zell Goddess? My sword and that other thing. Even if I have to steal it, I'll have it ready. He nodded grimly. Val, this is for you. Yes, your very own cell phone, and it's programmed for me, Zell Goddess, McGuinn, Dr. Adams, and the rest of the team. Test it out later, okay? Zell Goddess answered his phone. Hi, Val. Bye, Val. Zelos answered his phone. Hi, Val. Bye, Val. Val was laughing. Hey, dudes, another toy. Zell crossed his arms and sighed. So... Lena interrupted. So this is our last practice for a while, eh? I have a song to work out with Val and Zell then. Zelos had walked over to where Philia sat and knelt beside her, looking expectantly. What do you want? Philia asked grudgingly. Oh, yeah, this settlement salve. I always carry some. I just give it to you, but part of the treatment is the application. Zelos gave her a confused look. Okay. I'll have to take off my sweater first. You know me. I don't care, but if you want more privacy, we could do this up in the loft. He hid his eyes with his bangs, so as not to give away any secret emotions. Philia was once again uncomfortable. She knew he had no interest in her, but there was something about his tone, not to mention her mother's words. No, that he likes you crap was nonsense, for sure. She made up her mind. No, I'll do it here. I'm sure as a novice you understand how... improper? That's the word, right? How improper it would be for me to have a girl in my bedroom rubbing my bare skin. Well, I figured since it was you, it wouldn't matter, he grinned. Philia almost hit him with a jar of salve. How dare he insinuate that she was inconsequential and undesirable, especially since he was himself. I'll show him. I'll be the mature one here. Whatever. Just show me where you want the stuff already. She sniffed indignantly. As he pulled off his top and exposed the layers of bruises over the nightmare of scars and rippling muscles, she took a sharp intake of air, which drew the attention of Amelia and Silphiel. They had been talking about an upcoming shrine activity for spring, which included the mayor's daughter. Oh, gods! Zella, you guys play hard, but not this hard, Philia managed to say through her constricted throat. Zelos shook his head. That's right, Philly. Vali and Zell Goddess wouldn't inflict this much damage on me with my hands tied. Maybe if my feet were tied too. Ouch! And they had baseball bats. Ugh! That one's painful. Ugh! That one is too. Oh, that's very nice, though. Val's eyes riveted onto the scene at the other end of the room.
He shivered once in distaste at the dark smears that stood out garishly from Zelos's pale chest. He watched Philia carefully massage the salve onto his back. Her attention was on her chores, and Zelos's head was down, long hair hiding his face. Silphiel's face wore a mask of horror. "Shit," Val muttered through clenched teeth. "What?" snarled Lena, who had been delivering her rendition of how the harmony should sound. "Constructive criticism, Val, is welcome, but..." She followed his gaze to the other side of the room. So did Zell, who knew what to expect. With lightning speed, Zell moved beside Amelia and Silphiel and pulled them away. "Don't ask. Leave them be. He'll fall apart if you start screaming or crying. Come over here and listen to Lena's song. She needs some help," Zell murmured with an amazing amount of sensitivity and discretion. Gowri slipped between Zelos and the others, acting as a buffer and screen.
Zelos?
Gowri asked in a gentle voice.
"I'm not doing nothing. I'll go up to the loft with ya and, help Philia."
Zelos nodded and waited for Philia to get up, then stood and led the way up the stairs. Gowri handed Zelos the kimono that Silphiel had painstakingly hand-sewn for him. Although Zelos had no shame and didn't seem at all to mind Philia looking at him, Gowri thought it was safer, just in case. Gowri continued talking while Zelos stretched out onto his bed and Philia tried to find an uncompromising position to get into.
You got them on your legs, too. When you bumped into the chair there, you looked hurt. Take off the pants and, yep, this one needs some of that stuff. Want me to do it, Philia?"
Thanks, Gowri, but I can do this. A clan priestess of my stature is required to administer first aid when called upon. Watch how I do this. See, the massaging adds warmth and softens the skin, so it absorbs the herbs and works much faster. Then, there, I rub like this, and the muscles relax, and more blood flows into the area, and speeds up the healing, too. Zelly, you need to turn over now.
Oh, without the scars, the bruises on your thigh here really look nasty. I want to know what's going on with all this, Philia demanded.
She was so much more comfortable now, with Gowri nearby. The talking also helped her focus on the task, rather than on the beautiful boy she was touching so intimately.
"I told you, I've undergone some training. I have a hitman contract, Philia, but I'm not a thug, so I have to be conditioned to accept a high level of punishment and still keep my secrets, you know. That's all over now. The real work is starting tonight."
His voice faltered, revealing a certain level of trepidation about the future, which he had been trying to conceal. He flung an arm over his eyes and lay silent and still.
"Gowri, we need a base rhythm down here, so unless Zelos needs you to hold his hand or anything," Lena called.
Philia shook her head.
"I'm almost done. Go on, Gowri, and thanks bunches. Remind me and I'll buy you an ice cream at lunch tomorrow."
"Sure thing," he smiled, and pounded down the stairs.
Philia screwed the lid onto her jar and squeezed Zelos's foot.
"You awake? I'm done."
Zelos sat up slowly.
"That feels so much better already. I think the shrine healers should invite you as a guest speaker and give them a demonstration. It's much more effective than their methods. I believe I'll be able to leave tonight in top form."
"Tonight?" Philia asked, surprised at the suddenness of it all. "You're leaving tonight? Oh, I'm so... No, I won't say that. I'll miss you at school, and make sure Val has his cell phone with him at all times. What else can I say or do for you?"
"Well, that ice cream deal sounded nice to me, if I come back," he smiled.
"You mean when you get back? Sure. Ice cream. Got it.
Zelos drew back from his gentle but passionate kiss to Philia's lips, grinning from ear to ear.
"Sealed with a kiss," he chuckled. "I always wanted to do that. Don't be so uptight. Hey, call it a dying man's last wish. One last kiss from all his friends. Oh, and are you going to trim my hair too?
Philia sat aghast a moment, then scrambled off the jiggling waterbed and to her feet. He had stolen that from her, as nice as it was. You'd better hope you die, Zellybean, she yelled. Philia grabbed the nearest thing, a pillow, and pounded him over the head repeatedly. Zelos had a giggling fit. It was noisy enough to bring Val charging up the stairs, followed by Lena. That ain't part of no cure. Get off him! Zelos, you gonna get dressed and play the drums or what? Val gave them both a nasty glare. Philia dropped the pillow, straightened her clothes, and palmed the jar. Keep someone between Zelly and you at all times, Lena, she said with annoyance, but ruined the effect with a quick wink and smile. Zelos pulled on his dojo clothes and clambered down the stairs, still smiling. He played the drums and sang and enjoyed the moment with his friends. When Lena called it a night, Zelos had one more thing to say. I wanted to tell you all, so you all know. Let me start again. I remember my father's last words to me. He told me he was going to take a short nap and then see me later. It didn't happen. I never saw him again after that. It's made me think over the years. I've tried to live for the moment and enjoy each day. I know this has really bugged some of you. He smiled over at Zell. Because it often rains trouble later. I rarely have looked more than a week or two out into the future. I've avoided it, actually. So I wanted to tell you guys something so that my last words to you include my true feelings. You have all changed my life so incredibly. I'm so happy. So lucky beyond words to have known you. So honored to call you my friends. I wanted to share a little ditty, kinda a poem. I heard it on a Lawrence Welk show. Yeah, it was some repeat show, and I was in the hospital, but I remember how it goes. Yesterday was history, tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift. That's why we call it the present. It summed up me, so I wrote it on a card. Yes, in purple pen ink, one for each of you. He pulled a tiny stack of cards out of the air, it seemed, and handed one to Amelia, saying, I love you, and kissed her gently. Then he stepped back and repeated the action to Silphio. Philia allowed him one more transgression and received her card and kiss. Lena gave him a big hug first, then closed her eyes. He might have lingered longer over her, but it may have been her imagination at work. Zelos grinned and giggled as he said, Now I can die a happy man. I may be a virgin, but at least I can say I've kissed four of the most beautiful girls I know.
How about Kiki?
Amelia asked, a blush spreading across her cheeks.
Five, he giggled.
You left out Martina, didn't you?
Philia smirked.
Six, no five. I said the most beautiful, and I meant it.
He smiled and turned toward the guys. He approached Gowrie, who said, You're not gonna kiss me, right? Zelos shook his head and smiled slightly. No. Then gave his buddy a card and a warm hug and said, I love you. He smiled at Val, who looked upset as he closed his hand around his card. I love you, Zelos said aloud and hugged his punk friend. He turned to Zell and stuffed his last card into Zell's shirt pocket. I love you, little brother, he whispered. Then threw his arms around the kid who stood trying to control himself. Me too, big brother, but, he said gently, pushing Zelos off. Now that you've gotten all that out of your system, I know I speak for all of us when I tell you that we are all coming out of this alive and well. There are a lot of people out there, police-type people, ready to jump in and help. No heroics. We have backup. Understand? Everyone? Good. Now go home and eat, rest, and pack lightly. It's a normal day of school tomorrow and Friday for most of us. Try and live for the moment.
And don't worry about the future, as Zelos wants us to, all right? Everyone was wasted emotionally. Amelia and Silphiel said something kind to Zelos. Then it was time to leave. Lena and Gowri walked home together, reviewing plans and food to pack for Friday. Silphiel offered a ride to Amelia, since she was driving Val and Philia downtown to the art store anyway. After getting their supplies, Val and Philia would walk to the dojo. Zell was left to change into his dojo attire, and then he and Zelos could head off for their appointments. The extra work at the dojo was good for Zell. He had stress in excess, and the karate rolls and punches were a fine release. Who knew when he'd be back to normal life activities again? Zelos was in another room most of the time, but towards the end, he just wandered around, speaking to friends quietly, the sensei following him and smiling. This was his last day of work for a few weeks. Nuriko was giving him a big hug when Sano lumbered up to Zell, ending his lesson. "He's just gonna be gone a couple weeks, right? You'd think he wasn't planning on coming back," Sano chuckled. Zell looked sadly over at his friend. "You're right." "Yo, we is here!" Zell smiled and nodded at the two friends at the door. "Come on in, Val, Philia. He's just saying bye for a couple of weeks. Give him a few more minutes. So, Philia, what have you chosen for our future wearing enjoyment?"
"Red," Philia said with disgust. "None of my choices were considered. I mean, what kind of expert was that guy, anyway?"
"That dude knows, Phil. He just does. He sells stuff at concerts and know what moves and what doesn't. See? Different shades."
Val pulled out a few to show Zell, who couldn't care less.
"Why so many?"
Zell asked, not even pretending to care about the colors.
"Lena, need I say more? She demanded we make plenty to sell," Philia said.
"Gods, I can't stand them. Zell, go pull Nuriko off him and let's go."
Val and Sano greeted each other and began another conversation, while Zell migrated over to Zelos.
"What are they doing here?" Nuriko asked.
Zelos looked to Zell for the answer. Zell sighed. "Philia needs a ride home, and I guess Val's coming along too. They were out choosing t-shirts, and Philia wouldn't trust Val with the colors. Ready, Zelos? We do have another couple of stops, correct?" Zelos nodded and found the sensei, bowed, and returned to Zell. "Okie dokie." Zell parked outside a dance studio, not far from the performance hall where he, Wince, the mayor, and Amelia had watched the Nutcracker Ballet. Was that in December? Feels like another lifetime, Zell thought to himself.
"Why are we stopping here?" Philia practically wailed from the back seat with Val.
"I won't be long, Philia," Zello smiled.
"Dance studio, Zell?"
Philia asked as Zellos opened his car door.
"Take all the time you want," Zell said meaningfully. "I promised you, and they know that. Don't feel rushed. Want me to come along?"
Zelos shook his head.
"No, this won't take too long."
He entered the studio.
"So?" Philia pushed.
"The dance master is world famous, Philia. He asked Zelos to join his troupe. And I know what you are thinking, and I can assure you it's all above board. He's not a pervert, and he's serious about wanting Zelos as a student of his. I don't know what the conversation is about, though." Zell sighed. 15 minutes later, Zelos returned to the car. "Well, that's over. Thanks, Zell Goddess."
He leaned his head back and closed his eyes. Half an hour later, they parked in front of Philia's house.
"Is it too late to see your brother?"
Zelos asked, opening his eyes and rolling his head over to look at Philia.
"Do you guys want to come in for a minute?" she asked politely.
Of course they did. So they all clambered noisily out of the car and stomped up to the door.
"Hello, Mr. Ulkopt,"
they greeted the tall, blonde man holding the squawking baby.
Zelos waited his turn. He approached Philia's father and spoke to him quietly, while Philia left the room to dump her backpack. Val scooped up the little guy and was rewarded with having a long, green tendril of hair grasped and tugged by a tiny fist. He grinned and chortled in an undignified way. Val did the chortling, that is. Zell was next. The two stared into each other's bright blue eyes a moment. Here was someone who could look at the scarred boy and show no alarm, no fear, no horror. And he was so small. Zell passed Quinny to his friend. I think he's getting tired. Zelos smiled at his armful of warm baby. We've worn him out, I'm afraid, Mr. Ulcopt. Good, maybe he'll sleep tonight. So, Philia tells me some of you are going to the Macross recording studios over spring break. Does that include you too, Val? No. Lena, Amelia, and Gowrie are going, with Zell and Zelos here. But the studio thing's Monday, Val started to explain. Not you? Why not come to stay at the settlement, and then stay here? There are many clan activities during the week, and we could use an extra pair of hands. Thanks, but I've got my job, and I have no way of getting back and forth. No problem. Someone's always driving into town on business. We arrange carpools all the time. I mean, with your other two friends gone, you don't want to be left alone in... at home, Mr. Ulcopt added meaningfully. Well, since you put it that way. Okay, sure. Thanks. Val laughed. Zelos and Mr. Ulcopt's eyes met. Zelos nodded, then said, I know some of us have homework, so it's time, isn't it, Zelgadis? Thanks, boys, for bringing Philia home. Stop on by any time, and I'll make arrangements with you later, Val, Mr. Ulcopt said as he led them to the door. He stopped Zelos on his way out and whispered, That's what you wanted, right? Zelos smiled and nodded. Thank you, Mr. Ulcopt. Nothing important was discussed on the way home. Zelos drove while Zell and Val talked music a little bit, but mostly they rode in silence. Zelgadis, would you check Dr. Adams for me? I think he's at the hospital tonight, Zelos asked. Yeah, he's there and not busy. He'll see us in room 12A. Oh, and McGuinn got your message from earlier, I guess. He's on his way to 12A too, Zell said after a brief phone conversation. Thanks. Good. Saves us a trip. Zelos nodded. Touching bases, huh? Val asked. Yep. Out of sight, out of mind. I want everyone to remember me, Zelos giggled. Kinda morbid, Val groused. They found room 12A, knocked, and let themselves in. Officer McGuinn smiled and shook hands with Val. I do like seeing you on this side of the law, my boy. Val nodded and blushed. Me too. Zelos ran through his timetable. The exact locations I'm afraid I don't know yet, but I will before my meeting with Zell and the others. Milgazia's cooperation is the most questionable. You'll have it. You got my word, Val grumbled. I'll keep you updated when I can, but Zelgadis will be better able to, I think. I don't think it's a good idea for me to be chatting to the police while masquerading as a syndicate hitman on assignment, Zelos said with his trademark smile. Philia from the Seafeed clan anointed me with her special magical herbal goop, see? I think it's really helping, too. Zelos pulled the gi open to show the doctor. The two men winced imperceptibly. Nice job, Zelos. What good friends you have, Is she someone special to you? Zelos looked sideways at Val's tense form. No, but I think... She really is having a hard time hiding her feelings for that guy. The good doctor smiled at Val. I see. So is the Alan problem over with? Val cleared his throat and looked like he'd love to be nearly any place else. I guess so. I'm staying with her folks over spring break, when I'm not busy. But it was her father who asked me, not her.
She's not mad at me or nothing anyways. Zelgaris, you have anything to add? Dr. Adams asked. Zell stared at Zelos. Zelos here is convinced he's not coming back. I want you two to tell him that he is, and to not give up that part of the plan and do something stupid and take some unnecessary risk, or jump in front of bullets or speeding trains or pretend that he's invincible or that there's no one backing him up. He said his goodbyes and quit his job and don't give up, please, promise me. Zell directed his last words to Zelos in a barely controlled, very emotion-filled voice. Zelos smiled. I just discovered a family, a brother, a nephew. I won't give all that up purposefully, Zelgaris. I promise. McGuinn laid out his plans and strategies, especially for Val and Zell's benefits. They needed to know how to contact him and what information he would require. Dr. Adams did the same. After 15 minutes, they were done. Each man shook hands with the young men and wished them well. Zelos spoke privately with the doctor and pocketed a small vial before saying his final goodbye. So what'd he give you? Val asked as Zell started the engine. What? You heard me. I saw him give you something. Val pressed. Before Zelos could stop him, Zell snatched the tiny vial out of his pocket where he'd noticed the bulge. He frowned at the label and tossed it back to Val. Suicide pills. I thought Gov was the enemy. Zelos reached back and stole them out of Val's grasp. There are worse things than dying. If I'm caught double-crossing my boss, for instance, I've met the Master of Hell and befriended him. The next time we meet, I'll be prepared no matter what. Zelos was so dark that neither Val nor Zell questioned him any further. At the Whispering Oaks Retirement Center, the old man sat at the window, overlooking the gazebo in the garden below. It was dark, and the only illumination came from a single, stark, sulfur light above the exit door. "Good evening, Grandfather. Enjoy your dinner?" asked the dark-haired boy. "Boy," for the young man was small and delicate-looking, like a child of 12.
"No, the food was terrible. It's a disgrace what they serve on a plate to these old people. Ah, well, it's the same story every night. Why are you visiting?" he asked gruffly.
"I wanted to see the face of the man I called Grandfather. Do I need a reason?" asked Fabrizio, underworld crime lord controlling the oil fields of the Middle East. Sagram Sr., father to Gov's General Sagram, sighed.
"You always have something in the works. Schemes, plans, something. Ah, well, so, what do you think of the new recruit?"
"Zelos? I like him. He and I will be running the entire syndicate within 2 years." The kid laughed.
"You think he'll share it with you?"
The old man leveled a hard look at the boy. Fabrizio returned the gaze with one of uncertainty.
"You look surprised," Sagram chuckled.
"You don't think he's that ambitious, do you?" Fabrizio asked.
"He let you win at chess," Sagram answered.
"That's not true, and he does win sometimes,"
the boy whined defensively.
"Humph," the old man snorted. Fabrizio sighed. "So, what do you think I should do about him when his contract is over?"
A sly look washed across the old man's face. "Give him to me. I could use a new amusement. These serving boys are becoming dull."
"You are an awful man, Grandfather."
"Of course I am. That's why I'm still alive."
"I'll tell you what. I'll give it my consideration. You may be wrong. I think he admires and respects my power and accomplishments for my age. He's a strong ally," the boy said.
"True, but you know whose son he is."
"Zealous," Fabrizio spat. "But he hates her. It fuels his drive. He has no qualms about destroying her someday as well. I'm sure of that."
The old man shifted in his chair as if to leave.
"Suit yourself, then.
But if I were in your shoes, I'd settle for offing the dangerous one and accruing the grandson of the Red Priest you were telling me about.
Why settle? With the combined inheritance of Zelos, Gav's son, and the Zelgadas freak, plus my own, I will be able to control 4 parts of Shabranigdo's shares. I will be the majority stockholder.
That's only if you can convince them all to join forces with you. Sagram sighed as he rose slowly and painfully from his chair.
Well, that's where the Lena girl comes in.
Hey, don't worry. I have a plan that can't fail. The kid laughed. I've been watching them carefully. The best surveillance. And if Zelos shows signs of disobeying, you can have him.
Sagram stood and straightened with effort. I'll retire happy, even while you rot in hell.
Ha! That's a good one, Grandfather. That's why they call me the Hellmaster, old man. I even control hell.
Thursday. Zell made breakfast. Val sauntered in and jammed 2 pieces of bread into the toaster.
He gone?
Zell nodded. I heard a car pull up about 2 a.m. I hope he'll be...
Val interrupted. He'll be there Friday, and he'll be okay.
Zell shook his head. It's not fair. We all were just getting to be friends, and the band was just starting to get good, and I was finally starting to look forward to getting up in the morning, and now... I don't want it to end.
Val's eye glittered with emotion.
Me either.
So we're gonna make it all work. This time next week, we'll all be soaking in that hot tub, moaning about the break being about over.
All of us?
Yep. And richer than shit, he chuckled.
That's your toast. Grab it and go, or we'll be late. Zell shouted as he scrambled for his shoes.
Who cares?
Indeed. Certainly none of the Slayers cared much about anything that day of school. Silphiel was talkative at lunch. Amelia had moved over into Zelos' empty seat, so that she was mostly across from Silphiel. Val sat in Amelia's vacated seat beside Zell. Whether it was to cover up Zelos' absence or for his own hidden purpose, Zell didn't know or care. Zell was in Zellland, where no one else could gain admittance. Philia sat between Lena and Silphiel, since Gowrie hadn't claimed his usual seat yet. So, when he did arrive, he stood puzzled a moment, before taking the empty seat beside Lena and across from Val. This new seating plan grouped the boys at one end of the table and the girls at the other, with Lena and Val marking the separation.
"Thought I was at the wrong table."
Gowrie smiled and bit into his sandwich.
For a second, everyone was moved about.
Val shrugged and played with his bowl of chili.
Yeah, well, same old. His voice fading into nothingness.
So, I never thought my first kiss would come from Zelos. My dad would kill him if he found out, which he won't. He broke a rule, and with me... Gods, Daddy would kill me too, but...
Silphiel smiled. But what? Philia prompted her friend. It wasn't so special. Ellen's was better, but without feeling, you know. Zelly's was meaningful and...
From the heart! Amelia cried. Nothing could compare to, you know, Zelgoddesses. But he was so sweet and sad. I cried for hours after I went home.
Zell watched the girls out of the corner of his right eye, then sank his head onto the table and stayed that way, using his folded arms as a pillow.
"He's sure taking it hard," Philia whispered.
Lena looked at Zell and finished her milk. "His best friend's gone, and he's worried, and he doesn't want to talk about it."
Zelos was acting pretty weird yesterday, even for him.
But you let him kiss you again. That's 2 you've gotten from him, and... Anyone else? Or was he your first 2?
Silphiel whispered.
Nope.
Lena said in a clipped voice. She nabbed Gowrie's plate with half a sandwich, added her own fruit salad, and shoved the entire meal onto Zell's arm. Eat this.
Val, it's your job to get him to eat dinner, or he'll starve to death and be useless tomorrow. And my first, one was from Zell. Of course, it was pretty one-sided and stupid, and he's already forgotten about it and will deny it. He'd snuck into my room to return a book on, well, it doesn't matter. And when he tried to escape out the window, I surprised him. We were only 12 or something. Nothing special, right? Hey, you! Kick, kick. Aren't you gonna say something? Zell peered up at her through his bangs, his bright blue eyes shooting icy arrows into her laughing red ones. You've said enough, Lena. There is nothing left for me to say. Philia shot off her mouth. Gods, Lena, how insensitive. Maybe it was something special for him. What's he supposed to say? Oh, the moment our lips met, I knew it was love, but now you call it stupid? No wonder he's so... Lena had flushed red. She hadn't meant any of that. She had simply wanted to get his ire up and get him out of his mood. To her surprise, Zell was speaking to Philia. I meant, Philia, that what Lena had said was correct, and that there was nothing remaining for me to say. That's all. No hidden messages or meanings. Now, can we talk about something else? Thanks, Lena, for the food. I'd forgotten to pick up something. Zell said in a flat tone, devoid of humor or any other emotion. Philia left the table and returned with an enormous bowl of ice cream, covered with strawberry topping and whipped cream. This she set down in front of Gowri. See, I remembered. Thanks for chaperoning last night. You know, the minute you left, he kissed me, the idiot. That's why I was hitting him. He's so annoying. He's all quiet and innocent, then so passionate, then goofy. I know you miss your friend, Zell, but frankly, there's much less turmoil without him. Zell was looking forward to having a break from Philia for just a few days. She spoke her mind, and in the meantime, one had hurt Gowri's feelings bringing up kissing topics. He knew Gowri and Lena were maintaining the just friends mode. Two had hurt Val by mentioning Zelos' advances. Three had embarrassed both Lena and himself. And four reminded them all that Zelos was gone. Zell, that's the bell. Time to go to class. Amelia nudged him gently. And I just want you to know that I think we all miss him. Really, Philia too. She just doesn't know how to talk about it. See you in cooking. Thursday evening. That evening, Zell tapped on Val's door. Packing? Val opened up. Nah, did that yesterday, to be sure I had clean stuff. Come on in. Zell sank onto Val's beanbag chair. Lena's first beanbag chair gift last fall. I got stuff to wash too. I'll get his stuff, and we can get that done as well. Just change into what you'll wear in the morning, and we can do it all. Val stared at his glum friend. Give me the keys. I'll get his stuff and meet you in the laundry room. He always separated according to fabric content and color, but that makes an extra load. White and dark will do, right? Zell asked. Yeah, sure. I stick it all in one load, usually. Makes the underwear gray, but hey, who's gonna care? Well, besides Zelos. He's always spotless and without a hair out of place. Though, I thought it was getting long. Hey, Zell, I'm sure he's fine. Yeah, shit, I hope I don't wimp out and faint, or freeze up and screw up things. Zell moaned. You won't, not with Lena and Gowri and Amelia counting on ya. Val said sincerely. Oh, thanks. Zell needed to obsess about something else. So, how do you propose to motivate the great Milgazia into helping? Val's smile grew into a leer. Ha! I gotta hand it to Zelos for putting the idea in my head. I'm gonna blackmail him. I'll threaten to tell the clan I'm his and Zelos's son or else. But it's not true. He'll tell you to go to hell, and you'll be stuck, Zell said. Don't matter if I've got this. He smirked and waved a paper. What's that?
Zell's eyes narrowed. My birth certificate, complete with his name and seal.
What? How did you get that?
Oh, not Zelos. Yeah, a little parting gift from the Chaos Kid. Found it under my door. Looks legit, old, and it's on the hospital database. He left me a note. Ah, he really could be good in a life of crime, Val chuckled. That's what worries me about him, and you, for that matter. The fine line between right and wrong is screwed up in his head. For him, the ends justify the means too many times. Zell shut up and sighed. Ah, good. This goes into the dryer, but on low heat, and the short cycle, so the shirts don't get wrinkled. What? It's not much extra trouble to do it right. Last load into the washer. So, where you figure Zelos has gone? She wasn't at dinner tonight, and Rezzo wasn't sharing nothing. Val asked, as they settled back in his room. It can't be good. I'd like to hope that she's leaving Zelos alone, though. Zell shook his head. Val looked at Zell, who shrugged.
I don't know.
Yeah? Val shouted. Is Zelgadis with you? Rezzo asked. Zell opened the door. Hello. We're just passing the time while we're doing the wash. Rezzo stood in the doorway. Zelos has gone already? Zell didn't know what to say. He didn't want to put Zelos into any more danger. Rezzo understood more than Zell thought.
May I speak to you alone? I have something to show you.
Zell followed his father to the front room, where he stood nervously at the couch.
What do you want?
Rezzo took his time. He wanted to speak with his son, and there was a chance that this would be his last opportunity. He set a long priest's staff into Zell's hands.
Many people have asked me for this over the years. Nelslada wanted it for his shrine, where it's a valuable relic. Zelos, Gav, and lately Zelos. I'm sure you haven't forgotten that argument. I turned them all down. You see, it wasn't mine to give away. It's yours. Your grandfather left it and the cloak in my possession.
He paused to sit down and indicated that Zell should sit beside him on the couch.
Yes, the cloak and this staff are originals. My father, the Red Priest, asked me to hide them after he returned from his travels. I was a young man about your age. I never knew him. He was gone so much of the time. But I knew something was wrong, terribly wrong with him. I hid his things as he asked, and a few weeks later, he went truly mad and, well, you know the story. A few days later, I looked in on the buildings and found this note wrapped in the cloak. It was a note to my future son, willing his entire inheritance to you, and you weren't even born yet. For years, I harbored a hatred for him, and, sadly, yourself. I vowed to get my share at any cost. Well, the cost has become too high, I've decided. I enjoyed these past 3 months tremendously, watching you and your fine friends grow up. I realized that my most esteemed possessions were nothing in comparison to those treasured evenings at the table listening to you all. Then I found that the plans were in motion to destroy you all, to acquire inheritances, all driven by a kind of greed and power lust I no longer had or wanted any part of. Zelos's harsh words tore away a veil in my mind, which was shrouding the true nature of the beast, the master of the beast, the evilest woman known to man. Seeing Zelos for the first time as the woman she had become, not the one I once knew and loved, helped guide my decision.
Rezzo rose from the couch and retrieved another staff. It was nearly as tall as that of the Red Priest, but instead of the loose rings at the top, there glowed a deep red globe between two uneven prongs. This is for Zelos when you see him. This belongs to Zelos. It is the most powerful symbol of the Syndicate, the Eye of Shabranigdo, a ruby of priceless value. She left it in her haste to leave to Wolfpack Island. I suppose she believed it to be safely hidden here.
The priest staff is yours. If you want him to have it, well, that's your decision. Gav would like to get his hands on it. To sell it, of course. But the ruby one will draw him like no other. I feel that you are alarmed at the extent that I know your plans. Well, don't be. I've spoken to Nels Lada and Phil Seyrun, old friendships I'm pleased to have renewed. Thanks again to you and your friends. I'm on board. I will be keeping track of Zelus. Rezo pulled out a cell phone. I'll let you know if she moves. Do you have room to add another number? Zelgadas, silent up until now, nodded and pulled out his cell phone. Your number? Then he entered the code as Rezo recited it. Do you want mine? Rezo smiled. Thank you, but I already have it. Number one on auto dial. Listen, son, I know you don't trust me. I wouldn't, after all you've been through either, I suppose. But I'll be here, waiting. And I'll do my part to help save your lives. Oh, and Zelus and I are separating. I will file for divorce when you are all back safely. In the end, I know I've stayed here to save her son, and you, and Val, too. Zelgadas smiled. Have nothing to say? Rezo asked. Actually, I was thinking that the only one who'll be sad to hear the divorce news will be Zelos. He's really enjoyed calling me his little brother. He said it made him feel part of a family. Zel sighed. Well, that he'll always be. Zelos is my brother-in-law, as you know, as well as stepson. He paused to smile, then continued, I'm glad you two came to know one another and be friends. Your mother really was his sister. I didn't make up that story, if you ever wondered. Thanks. I guess I was never quite sure what the truth was. Rezo? Father? Yes? Zelos taught me that since we never know when our last words together may be said, we should be sure to say what we really mean, or how we feel sometime, so that we don't regret never having done so. Zel said, standing to face the father he'd never had a chance to know until that moment. He's an emotional boy, your friend Zelos, Rezo replied. Unlike me, huh? Zel smirked. Zel jumped forward, threw his arms around his father, and held him tightly. I love you, he whispered through tears running down his cheeks and onto his father's shoulder. Slowly, Rezo returned the gesture and whispered back, I don't deserve this, but I shall cherish this forever. I love you too, son. They stood like that for a long time, both unable to be the one to break the comforting hug. It was the first time they'd ever exchanged any touch. Are you still bothered by those scars, son? Not so much. They let me see who my real friends are. But someday, we can get you fixed up, Rezo finished. Zel released his hold and wiped his eyes. It's late, and I need to get up for school. Then I have a busy weekend planned. Rezo nodded. I know. Call me tomorrow night. Let me know you're all right. Okie dokie. I had to say that. Don't ever let him know I said that either. Zel chuckled as he lifted both staves, one in each hand. I won't. I'll be up to see you and Val off in the morning, so make me breakfast. Sure, I'll bang on your door when I get up so you don't get cold eggs, Zel suggested lightheartedly. Rezo stopped, then chuckled. Bang all you like, but I won't let that damn dog into my room. He drools, slobbering nuisance. Beast? I like him. He's mine, you know. Zelos said I could have him. I'm very good with them. Of course. They're both sniveling, annoying. Rezo began. Slobbering nuisances. Yeah, but I meant dogs in general. That's all right. Good night. Thanks for the sticks. Zel smirked. Oh, and good night, Val. I know that you've been listening, and don't forget to fold that last load of laundry. Rezo shook his head and followed his son up the stairs. From the room below, they could hear laughter and the muffled voice of Val as he screamed back at Zel, Go to hell, freak!
Friday morning, Rezzo watched the two remaining boys load up the car. He had offered to feed Beast for Zell, his son. He liked the way that rolled off his tongue, since that dog mattered to him.
"Ah, do you have the number of the ill-copped house where I'll be staying?"
Val asked Rezzo before getting into the car.
"Probation rules and all."
Rezzo nodded.
"Number 4 on the auto dial, Val. Call me 2, tonight."
Val agreed and climbed into the passenger seat. Zell started the engine, and away they went. Rezzo had slept well, the best in years. Zell had made him his favorite breakfast of poached eggs on toast, and hugged him again that morning before leaving the house. He had his son back, his pride, and a purpose of importance and consequence. Keep the kids safe, protect them from Zealous. Well, no one said parenting would be easy. Zell drove first to Lena's, picked her up, and tossed her bag into the trunk. Next, he stopped for Gowrie, his bag and sword wrapped in a coat. Then he drove to the mayor's mansion. Amelia and her father were standing at the door awaiting their arrival. Zell grinned uncharacteristically.
"Hello. I'll get that bag, Amelia. Oh, and Phil? Rezzo, my father is on board too. He told me everything."
Val rolled down the front seat window, shook his head, and smiled at Amelia.
"Meet the new Zell, son of Rezzo."
"Why, that's wonderful, Mr. Zelgadis!" cried Amelia. "Something good has come out of this already. I just know everything will turn out okay now."
In her excitement, she gave Zell a little hug, and in his excitement, he didn't even blush. Phil congratulated him and told him about the conversation he'd had with Rezzo recently, about his decision to separate from Zealous's influence. Then he reminded Zell to take care of his little girl, much to the embarrassment of both kids. It was a lost day of school. In the end, Silphiel drove Val and Philia out to the settlement simply for the company and distraction. Zell, Lena, Gowrie, and Val turned onto the highway and aimed for Atlas City. Next stop, Reedco Village.